you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm on the cage. Every foul wicked spirit is the host, the news.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on the news, right now.
The news is gonna fucking rock. Be there.
You really happen to have a serial current.
Necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Hey, it's that time again, and you're listening to the Used Outbreak Edition with your hosts, T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. And, T.C., how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm fabulous, bro. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a weird weekend. There's been a lot of little road bumps this weekend as far as the tattoo business is concerned. And I think it's given me some shit to blog about, so that's always entertaining. But everything else is going good. My girls are getting ready to go see this the latest and last installation of the Harry Potter series tomorrow. So they're kind of hyped about that. I'm just looking forward to being over with, so that'll be great.
Rock on.
And, they've been, we cooked up a big meal tonight, and the thought process here was they need to learn how to cook, and I know their mothers can't cook worth a shit, so I kind of got to take on that responsibility myself. And, of course, they didn't pay any attention, so they're going to be great cooks themselves in the future. So what's been going on with you?
Let me see. I actually spent quite a bit of time today working on a new painting. It's nearing completion. It's difficult to work with paint on cardboard and one brush in your hands, but you know, you do what you can, and it seems to be coming out all right. I mean, I don't know if you remember that rose painting or not, but this is actually more of a seabearing theme to it, so.
Right on. So, and if and for folks who want to check out TC's work, and I'm sure as soon as he gets this painting completed and everything else, the images will be up. It's at fearthebeast.com, right? That's where most of your work's at right now, right?
Yeah, that's where it's at right now. I actually have not done any kind of capturing of any of the actual paintings that I've done. I guess I'm, you know, still working up the confidence to actually put it out there for everybody to look at. And I've got to, you know, make sure it passes at least a certain quality by my own standard. You know, I'm no Derek Dishaw after all.
Well, you know, I'm going to call you out on this this whole thing with the art and everything else. You know, we're a good place for you to post your work in progress and get some feedback from people. Might be the whole Creative Body Studios blog. where we're supposed to be posting in our artwork and stuff. I've been doing a whole bunch of different stuff in the blogs and everything else. I'm trying to spread my wings a little bit and make a little bit more of an impact in different communities and everything. So some of the blogs I've been sloughing off on, but I think it would be cool, man, to kind of see the work in progress, and I definitely would give you some feedback.
Right,
but I know it's gonna be badass. The rose painting you did was awesome. I'm digging the way that the a lot of your drawings have turned out and everything else. And of course, you got an eye for it, man. It shows in your digital work. So if this isn't me blowing smoke towards you or anything, this is a legitimate compliment. So very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Awesome. Yeah. If you pop over to the Sin Chat after the show's over, I'll put it on display for a little bit. So. That goes for not just you, but anybody listening that's interested. If you want to you want to see any of the stuff that I've been working on, you can come to the Sims chat room after the show tonight, and you know, I'll pop on the webcam and kind of show it off.
Right on. So there's a little bit of weirdness going on, I guess, right now as far as the ooze and different things. I don't know if we want to go into that, but we're going to be talking about the Church of Subgenius at some point this evening. So if we get to that, great. If we don't, you know, super too. But I'm doing a little bit of research right now real quick to see if I can figure out what's what.
To be honest with you, it has been the weirdest kind of thing. I mean, this whole deal started off with, you know, me expressing my dismay for somebody trying to claim some kind of props for an idea that was really old. Maybe it was asshole of me. Maybe I was misinformed of my facts. Well, whatever. One man with one fucking opinion. You know, everybody who listens to me, everybody who, you know, hangs out with me, interacts with me, reads my shit, is always welcome to form their own. As a matter of fact, they're encouraged to. Which I guess kind of brings up, you know, the head to everything on it, is that this insinuation that because I put myself out there, because I'm willing to... you know, say what's on my mind, and I'm not going to pipe the fuck down, that I somehow am then debted into some form of a leadership role, which is total fucking bullshit, because, you know, I'm not trying to tell anybody else what the fuck to do. I'm just piping up and saying, this is how the fuck I see it. And if you're not intelligent enough to fucking... If you're not intelligent enough to figure out for yourself whether I'm right or fucking wrong, that's your goddamn problem, not mine. You know, I'm not going to make some cry about being a messiah or fucking use the pretentious reverend fucking cling right in the front of my name, you know. I'm T.C. fucking Downey. I don't have a badge. I don't have a title. And I like it that way. I played the title game for about, 2 years or something like that. And it was enough. It was enough for me. I didn't like the ideas that were, you know, being expressed. And I didn't like the pretentious fucking elitist mentality that you get off of some fucking title that you give yourself. I just thought it was horse shit.
Well, and I think it's what I find was interesting about this opinion, and I don't want to get, I mean, we're going to get into it, I guess, a little bit, but there's some stuff going on, basically, and a lot of it just seems like some sort of radical misunderstanding, and the misunderstanding part really is, especially with this new little thing going on, is that you're talking to a bunch of Satanists, basically. You're talking to people who consider themselves independent as far as their thinking is concerned, right? And yeah, you're going to have leaders. You're going to have people that step up and fulfill that leadership role. But at the end of the day, when everybody is supposed to be responsible for themselves, then a leader's opinion, if you chose to follow that opinion or you agree with that opinion, well, then your choice is what you're responsible for. The leader's not responsible, or the person expressing the opinion that you agree with is not responsible for you choosing to be in agreement with that expression. But, you know, everybody's going to call it differently. I mean, if you need leaders, if you look for that kind of hierarchy and structure, if that's something that you have to grapple onto, I mean, if you're familiar with that type of system and want that type of system to apply to everything, well, you're going to try to paint that system onto, you know, pretty much anything, even if it doesn't apply. And I think that's kind of what's going on. But I don't understand. I saw the video. I know kind of what you're talking about, if it's an idea that he kind of wanted to, you know, say that, you know, he had some influence on that and everything, well, I guess, cool, whatever, but at the end of the day, it's irrelevant to the conversation, or was irrelevant to the conversation, and really, can you be sure that you were the inspiration of that idea, or that it didn't come from some other resource at some point and just happens to coincide with something you may have mentioned later? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But it sounds like if it's that little bit of bullshit, if it's something so minute, so minor, and it's turned into some fucking, you know, YouTube rant and shifting of alliances and kind of backroom giggling and shit like that, well, you know, if that's what floats your boat, if that's how you entertain yourselves, you know, I guess more power to you. But, I mean, that's really as much attention to it as I really want to give.
Right. Well, I just have a couple other little things that I'd like to actually tag on to that. That is,
sure.
First and foremost, I'm not fucking perfect. I'm human. As a matter of fact, if y'all haven't figured this out by now, my whole philosophy is to be as human as I can fucking be. You know, I'm not trying to be some god, and I'm not trying to be something lower than a man. I want to be a man. I want everybody I deal with to be a man. You know, I want to be on an even playing field. And then that, when I'm punching you in the fucking teeth over something stupid like this, you at least can take your fucking licks and quit whining. I mean, to go so far as to, like, delete me off of Facebook because I pointed to the fact that, you know, this was a very old idea that you wanted to gloat about. You know, maybe that was wrong with me. Maybe it was dickish. And so the fuck what? And maybe I should have given you a phone call because that would have been the honorable thing to do. But, I mean, doesn't that actually in some stretch of the imagination hold me to some moral obligation that you think I should be held to? And that makes you no fucking better than the Christians as you claim to stand against or opposed to. You're just as much of a fucking hypocrite. I mean, to go even further than that, there wasn't a phone call going, hey, why didn't you call me about this instead of airing it? Instead, you deleted me off of fucking Facebook and run around talking shit with my two favorite fucking backstabbers. You know, the fucking people who... I mean, I'm going to put it this way. Anybody who's willing to grab that title is probably more than willing at a moment when they're in rash fucking paranoia to accuse somebody who's been very loyal to you of trying to hoist your fucking shit. So, yeah, you're definitely a leader. You definitely deserve the ipsissimus fucking title. And don't you come along playing the I'm human card, because you're carrying the fucking title, asshole. That makes you more than human.
So, right on. And, yeah, it's... Again, it's kind of like I don't get it. I don't get what the tiff is about. I don't get, you know, and it's I am outside of it, man. I'm outside of it looking in, but I do understand what you're saying. It's, you know, it's just like I was saying earlier. It's trying to apply a certain familiar structure that may not be appropriate to, you know, what we're dealing with here. And as to the ooze being some sort of a vehicle for the leadership of a movement to express itself, man, we're entertainers. If views ever became anything more than that as far as, you know, what it is we do, and I'm talking, I guess I have to speak specifically about the Outbreak Edition. This is for fun, man. This is for entertainment. We hope that people tune in and they listen. And if it gets them thinking about stuff, if it gets them thinking about different opinions and everything else, different ideas, well, super. But if it's just, you know, it's something to do and they get some chuckles while they're listening to it, I mean, that I think is it's my main focus at least. And it's the same with, you know, everything, pretty much everything else I do, which is what, you know, what it really comes down to, what really, you know, took me playing the little leadership game that we did play to figure out, man, that I'm an artist. I just want to kind of express my opinion and have some interaction with people. But I'm not expecting anybody to step up and take it seriously. And I'm not expecting anybody to fucking follow my lead.
You have a responsibility as an artist now. You know, your artwork, it could influence somebody to kill somebody. I mean, just like the fucking Twinkie defense.
Right, right. I'm just, we're just as bad as violent video games. We're just as bad as heavy metal music or whatever. And, yeah, if you start going down that path, well, then you can't say shit. Because if you say the wrong fucking thing, even if it was the right fucking thing to say, if somebody kills himself over it or whatever, or goes out and fucks himself up, well, all of a sudden you're responsible for that. And yeah, we can't go down that road, man. Especially not as Satanists or individualists or whatever it is we're calling ourselves. That's just not the road we can go down. And this isn't that kind of show. So if you're expecting us to be responsible for, you know, what the fuck ever we say, good luck.
Right on. And that's exactly it, man. There is a fucking disclaimer played at the end of every show for a reason. You know, I just want to kind of put this out here, and I'm going to be done with the whole fucking thing because it's really not worth my time or energy. If any of you fucking smart mouth shits think you actually have the balls to step up and fucking square off with me, I'll dedicate a full 2 fucking hours to it.
You know, I might take you up on that.
Yeah, right on. I hope so.
No, man. Seriously, yeah, I would. Yeah, that's the thing. I understand what, and that's what he was saying, I guess, in one of his videos was a phone call would have been nice. And when he called me out on my shit, I thought he was right. So, you know, I took the time to actually, you know, speak with him about what was going on and everything. But, yeah, if he doesn't like the way you're handling yourself and he thinks that he has a point of debate, this forum's always open. I know it is for that kind of thing. So if he wants to, you know, come to this forum and have that discussion with you on the air, because, you know, it's gone beyond, I think, that point where it could be a private discussion to be settled. If it's worth your time, that's the other thing too, dude. I mean, if it's worth your time to do it, well then, why not? But, yeah, I don't think, like I said, it's small potatoes, basically.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, that dude, I really don't have a big issue with him. The guy right now, I really, honestly, I like the guy. No qualms intended. I would sit back and kick back and have some beers. I have my opinion of him, but I got my opinion of everybody. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And I hope they got
right.
one of me.
Right.
I'm talking about the other two fuckers that just got to try to fucking throw me under the bus every shot they get.
Yeah, that's the other thing, the guy we're talking about, I think if he wakes up to that and looks around and goes, you know, these two people didn't give a shit about me until I was on this point. I was opposing this person, and now all of a sudden I'm, you know, worth some serious attention. Yeah, think about that, man. Think about what's going on there. Because, yeah, the guy, like I said, when he called me out, he was right. When he gets out and does his thing, he usually has a point. I don't know what his point is here. I know he thinks he has a point to make, but, you know, not a bad guy. I just think he's, you know, the way he's handling this, the way he's handling himself, there's an issue there, and I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if this is a need for him to make a name for himself or what, which is, I guess you just take that as a compliment, too, if that's the case. If he's decided that the use is what he wants to take a shot at, and T.C. Downey's the person he wants to take the shot at, well, you know what? I mean, in that way, yeah, you're out there, and if he thinks he's going to get anything out of it, well, why the fuck not?
Yeah, you know, go for it. That's all I got to say is go for it.
So, well, we killed the first quarter hour of the show. Riffing on the little behind the scene drama shit that goes on the internet, man. I love that shit. It's probably not why I'm not on this bullshit anymore as much as I used to be. But anyways, we wanted to talk about the Church of Subgenius. The number to call in. You want to go ahead and riff on the number?
We actually have a caller already sitting on there that I know actually wanted to tune in tonight. So.
Okay, is he tuning in or is he? Oh, he's on. All right.
Yeah.
Let me throw the number out there before we get to the caller, 347-989-1371. If you got something to say about the Church of Genius, and we'll be explaining what all that is as we move through the show if you're not familiar with it. But cool organization, kind of funny organization, quirky stuff. And 619 area code, you're on the news, man. What's on your brain?
Hey, Jason Beast and Zach, how you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
You know, I figured call in. I don't get a chance to catch you guys very often anymore, so just calling in, but I was kind of in and out in between the computer and the phone, so I'm kind of unclear as to what the fuck you guys are actually talking about tonight. So I'm just going to kind of kick back and let you guys carry on, and I'll chime in when I'm up to speed here.
Okay, cool.
Right on. But let's
we're going to mute him again, or what?
No, just
leave him on here, leave him hanging? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're talking about the Church of Subgenius, and for those folks who don't know what the Church of Subgenius is, you've probably seen their icons floating around, especially in the late 90s. It appeared actually in some movies and stuff like that, these stickers of, it looks like a typical Ward Cleaver 1950s face, with a pipe claiming completed speed. This is J.R. Bob Dobbs. This is the icon, the symbol of the Churches of Genius. The Churches of Genius kind of started as a parody of religions. You know, they satirized, you know, religion, conspiracy theories, UFOs, and pop culture, okay? Very Americana what they were doing. And as it evolved, this it was meant to be a joke, and as it evolved, it became a kind of an actual religion. And they put out several publications. They do a radio show. They've been, you know, featured in movies, documentaries, and everything else. And it's taken this whole culture of mediocrity and kind of turned it on its ear. So a lot of silly shit, especially in the early days, there's a lot of silly shit going on with the Churches of Genius. And it's always entertaining, always funny to hear some of the stuff that's going on. It reminds me of either the Dada art movement, Dadaism or Surrealism, that kind of thing, but applied to philosophy and religion.
Right on. Well, I've always been under the impression that it was nothing but a hoax, so you're kind of throwing me a little bit for a loop with the implication that it's become something more.
Right, well, their membership roles, and you know how this stuff gets inflated, at some point they were up to 3,500 members, okay? And at some count, I think like in 2003, they claimed to be up to 10,000 members. Now, the membership, I don't want anybody to be impressed with the whole membership thing, because they're claiming whatever. But if you've got one person out there that says, I'm a member of the Churches of Genius, that is how I identify myself religiously or philosophically. My ideology is based on the teachings of the Churches of Genius, which are pretty fucking radical, but based on the teachings of the Churches of Genius, well, then you've got a religion on your hands. If you got one person that takes the joke seriously, it's not necessarily a joke anymore. And they have a good number of people contributing, money-paying, going to the convention, buying the books, promoting the religion. They're like on three or four different continents now. So it was a hoax. It was a joke. It was meant to be that, but became a money-making venture, and if you ask somebody that believes in it, it's a religion.
Shit. Kind of like the reverse of the cult of Cthulhu.
Right. It's not a religion that's become a joke. It's a joke that's become a religion. Exactly. No, it's the messed up thing with the Churches of Genius is what they've done is, of course, they pick and choose. They've cherry-picked every religion that's out there, including the Fourth Way, including Satanism, including Christianity. Everything that's out there, they've cherry-picked these different things. And their messiah, if you will, is J.R. Bob Dobbs. Bob is the world's or the universe's greatest salesperson, okay? There are two different types of human beings. There are pinks, which are just normal human beings, just normal, mediocre, bland human beings, okay? And then you've got the Yetison, okay? They're related to Yeti, Bigfoot, that kind of thing. And they have some sort of primal instinct that eschews the system that the pinks have put into place. So, I mean, this should sound really familiar if you listen to the news, listen to these really different blogs and everything else. These people are opposed to the normal system, the normal way of doing things. They're opposed to working for a living. They're opposed to capitalism, per se. They're opposed to regular sex. And I've got some stories about Bob Dobbs in my back pocket. I've talked about evening sex and everything else. They're opposed to these different things. And what they instead try to get people to do is cultivate slack. Now, slack is it's something that you cannot define. If you can define it, it's not slack. But it has something to do with, the basic concept is, appearing like you're working very hard, appearing like you are very active and very busy, when in fact you're not doing anything, you're not accomplishing anything. So it's very related to kind of the drone corporate mentality. You're very good at shuffling papers, so good that you might even get promoted, that kind of thing, although they try to avoid that kind of shit as well. So accumulating slack and riding this kind of luck plane between actually succeeding and failing, but you're just held in stasis there so that you go doing whatever it is you want to fucking do, and people actually pay you to do it, whatever that is. So that's the main focus of this. And according to the Church of Subgenius, the world actually ended, I want to say sometime in 1998.
The world ended?
Right, right. And it's, and when you say the world ended sometime, I think in 1998, according to the Church of Subgenius on X Day, they have, there is no, it's not like the recent world's going to end kind of thing, rapture thing. There is no paradox in there being a continued existence beyond the end date when the world ended.
That's awesome.
Okay. Every god out there is an alien being, according to the Church of Subgenius. And part of the deal with these alien beings is that at some point, you know, this includes Cthulhu, this includes Odin, this includes, as a matter of fact, they refer to the Christian god as Yahweh One, okay? And he's a lizard being, and he's not necessarily creator of this universe. All these aliens have enough power or whatever, they might as well be gods compared to the rest of us. They're planning on destroying or basically butt-fucking the Earth, okay? This is one of their, they're going to retool reality at some point. And Bob Dobbs, being the universe's greatest salesperson, is prepared to save a select group of human beings, the Yetisen, the people related to these Yetis, who realize their non-pinkness and embrace the message of Bob. And the way you embrace the message of Bob, by the way, boys and girls, is you send money to the Church of Subgenius, okay? That's the only religious requirement. That's the only ritual. You send money to the Church of Subgenius. Anyways, Bob has basically parlayed a deal with the gods that will allow himself, although he gets the biggest piece of this, and all of his followers to continue to be these slack-invested beings after the destruction of the world. So if you believe in Bob and you send your money to the Church of Subgenius, you too can be saved. And I can save you some money on any book by the Church of Subgenius. Every book they have, while it's got some funny bits and there's all these kooky little things going on, cool drawings, cool artwork and everything else, it's all a sales pitch. Almost every other paragraph ends with, send money to the Church of Subgenius.
That's awesome. That's an excellent marketing strategy.
Right, well, and it's nothing but marketing. And it's over the top how blatant it is. It's over the top how ridiculous they go with it. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and everything else, well, Bob is the new incarnation of Jesus, and he's here to bring Jesus to teaching, sir. He's bringing it to fruition. Here's the real truth, the real gospel. Send us money. And if you think that Christianity was a phony bully religion and that was total bullshit, well, Bob agrees with you. And Bob's here to put all this shit to a stop. And Bob will lift the veils from and show the truth of how Christianity enslaves people and everything else. Send the Church of Subgenius money.
Now, is the Church of Subgenius any way related to the Flying Spaghetti Monster, or is this completely some other asinine philosophy that got caught on in pop culture?
I don't know how it's related to the Flying Spaghetti Monster thing, but I know that in a recent Church of Subgenius publication I read, it was mentioned several times. So, and I'm no expert, man. My experience with the Church of Subgenius is I checked out their first website back in the 90s when it used to have the amputee and multiple mammary porn on it and everything else. Now you can't. Now it's not on there anymore. They've cleaned themselves up. I guess they actually had some sort of to-do back in the 90s or early 2000s over some sort of issue with child abuse or something. No, not child abuse. Let me take that back. Not child abuse. It was that a high-ranking member of the Church of Subgenius, they had children. They had kids, okay? And these kids were being encouraged to participate in Church of Subgenius conventions. Well, these conventions, there are people taking off their clothes. At these conventions, there's all kinds of crazy shit going on, and there had been a divorce or whatever, so the other parent, who was no longer involved with the Church of Subgenius, they have one time had been a high-ranking member of it, basically sued for child support and, you know, cried, abuse, and everything else. And this is the fucked up thing about this is that this joker that pulled this shit, he was doing the same stuff with his children. These children were participating with them at the Church of Subgenius conventions, which is just some, you know, just kooky roller coaster rides and who knows what else going on. And but now that he's not a member of it and everything else, he's going to cry foul when, you know, mom or whoever it was continues to have the kids present at these functions.
Interesting.
Right on. We have another caller on the line, man, so.
All right, let's bring him on. Let me see here. 540 area code. You were on the use. What's on your brain?
Hey, it's Betty, actually.
Bad.
Hey, what's going on, Betty?
I had to call in, man, because, like, I have been down with the Subgenius thing since, shit, like, shortly after 1998. I was a kid, you know what I'm saying, when I discovered these people. And I thought it was, like, the coolest motherfucking thing in the world. And I have to admire their efficiency. Because they take, you mentioned before that that their only sacrament essentially is to send money to the church of the Subgenius. And of course, sending money is how you accomplish the ministry goals of any other religious body, but they kind of like put it to the back corner, and it's like an annual guilty sermon that even the reverend doesn't like performing about tithing or whatever. And, you know, no one really deals with it as the main business of the church. And whatever the fuck the Subgenius' business is, they are fairly open about what they want from you.
Right, and what they do also is because they're such a quirky group, because it's all up front, we want your money. Your money is what is going to be needed to save you, and we're full of shit. I mean, they pretty much admit it, they're full of shit. But because they're this quirky group, because it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of funny, it's kind of cool, they attract some of the most incredible artists. They attract some of the most creative people out there, writers and musicians and everything. And when they throw
Robert
down
Anton
that,
Wilson.
Have a party. What's that?
Robert Anton Wilson was a Subgenius.
Right. When these people have a party, when these people go to throw down, it's a blast. It's a good time. And like I said, their publications are all pretty much the same. But even though they're all pretty much the same, if you pick one up, it's a funny read. It's smart. It's slick. And it's not trying to convince you of shit other than, you know, it's all circling the toilet. Might as well, you know, do something. You might as well waste your time, basically, and send us money.
Well, you know, it kind of
reminds
me of...
Yeah, no, I mean, if you vibe with it, send me money. It's pretty straightforward.
And it's kind of also like people buying other people's souls on eBay, you know, in empty mason jars. I mean, I don't think anybody who's buying those mason jars actually believes they're actually purchasing a living soul. But it's so ludicrous and it's so outlandish that, you know what, I mean, if I could get a mason jar that had a piece of masking tape that, you know, was written on it, Jason Sorrell's soul, and I could get it for under $20 as a novelty item, I would probably buy it just to say, hey, look, I got this.
Man,
yeah,
I would need a videotape
of
the extraction process.
So.
I would need, like, a signed document in blood stating that, like, the soul is my property and cannot be transacted in whole or in part ever again. I read Harry Potter. I know how this shit fucking works.
Okay, now, for those folks who are listening or who are thinking, you know what, it would be cool to own somebody else's soul. And I think if you go back to the archives, you'll actually find this mentioned in another show. We are in the business of not necessarily selling our own souls, but we will broker souls. We do that. So we can provide that kind of transaction. If you want to sell your soul to somebody else, or you want to buy somebody else's soul, we at Creative Body Studios, we're all about that. We have the documentation. We'll get that set up. We can be the middleman, work it out with the devil and everything else, you know, whoever or whatever you think, whoever needs to be worked out with. But we can't do that for you. And I know, TC, we had set up an email address for that at one point, didn't we?
Yeah, it's Sell Your Soul.
Hey, look, man, if you live in the Southwest, I got you covered too, but that is exclusively for the devil.
Well, right, and if that's a requirement, I mean, we could do that. I mean, it's all good. We can make any of these things happen. These kinds of transactions, that's what we're about. When we're talking about, I am a soul broker, and I can move souls, I can sell souls, and souls are doing nothing but going up in value. So if you got a soul, if you need money, you need to get something on, you've got a soul that you want to sell, I mean, you're not going to need it anyways. I mean, you're not using it now, right? So go ahead. TC will give us that email address. We'll post in the chat room, whatever. If you need to sell your soul, or you want to send money to the Church of Subgenius, I can't say that I will send the money to the Church of Subgenius for you. and take a piece off the top because I'm not officially a representative of the Church of Subcutaneous. But, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, if you need to get the money to them, you know, go ahead and send that to me first, and I'll make sure they get it. So, all good.
Right on. Now, that email address is sellyoursoul@fearthebeast.com, if I remember correctly.
Right on. So you've been following the Church of Subgenius since you were a kid. Is that right, Betty?
I have.
Okay. So is there anything in particular about the Church of Subgenius that really sticks out in your mind as something that people need to know?
That Slack can be an ethic, simply, or that, you know, you can approach your slothful tendencies in a mindful way, because that is so classic of, you know, the post-Generation X, you know, group of people, like the boom, echo, whatever, that I'm a part of. Like, it doesn't really have an adequate label, like, what are we? But... yeah, we're huge slackers, but we're also very tuned into doing our own things. Like, we bullshit like nobody else, and our bullshit sensors tend to be pretty good, actually. You know, but we tend to be absorbed in these little side projects and in very stupid, you know, unproductive ways. And so when you embrace that as your goal and say you're going to play the system, you know, that's not a viable choice for everybody. That's not a good choice, an honorable choice for everybody. But if you say you're going to play the system, then you should do so with a game plan. And that's what the ethic of Slack really was to me. And what I try to encourage other people, you know, to look into.
Yeah, there's the shit that's important to you. There's the stuff that makes you happy that nobody's going to pay you for, you know, or you're going to get paid very little to do it. Nobody's going to support you doing whatever it is you do. Like, I don't know, like Blog Talk Radio, like the news. Nobody's going to step up and really pay you to do those kinds of things. But they are what make you happy. They are what gives your life some meaning, something entertaining or interesting to do. Your bullshit job in Cubicleville, that's not entertaining. That's not fun. That's not who you are. And it's Slack is realizing that it is. It's a bullshit job. That it's not something that you should work hard at. It's not something, you know, there is no, and anymore especially, and this is becoming more and more true every day, working hard is not going to achieve you shit. So, and I think that's the message of the Church of Subgenius. You know, get out and enjoy it while you can. And, you know, whatever little bullshit you've got to do to, you know, keep the man happy and off your back, well, that's what you do. But, you know, it's the things that you really love. It's the things that really get you, make you get up and go do, you know, it gives you energy and makes you excited. Well, make time to do that shit. You know, do that shit on the man's dime. You know, do that shit while you're sitting in your cubicle, whenever you can get away with it.
I'm reminded very much of like the laughing Buddha. It's a Zen figure with the little hobo pack on his back, you know. And there's a story that goes with it, a man asking, you know, what is the meaning of Zen, or what is the essence of Zen? And he simply takes his pack and, you know, goes whistling, smiling down the road. And, you know, that's, you know, to me, if you are, you know, a truly pious subgenius, you know, if you're trying to get really deep with this shit, then you will find yourself moving in a very water course, you know, bizarre way throughout life, you know, led by a strange music and getting weird places with it, you know. What I encourage people to do is, look, as long as you're hating what you're compulsed to do for 6 hours a day, why aren't you playing your bass 9 hours a day and just, like, skip the shit that you already know?
Right. Right, exactly. And it's following that luck plane that they talk about. It's, you know, it's getting down that middle path where it's, you know, just enough to see, just enough not to fail, that kind of thing. And it's, you know, just as far as the system's concerned, as far as the shit, like you said, you're compulsed to do, just whatever you got to do to get by. Just, you know, just so that you're able to do the shit you want to really do and you're comfortable while you're doing it. And I guess there's another way to explain this, because they make a big deal about J.R. Bob Dopp's sexual exploits. Okay, and the thing they're saying with his sexual exploits, which is funny, is that Bob Dobbs found just about anything sexually attractive. Okay, just about anything got him excited. You look at the pigs, you look at the normal systems. There's a sexual ideal, and it's always, you know, it's always a metamorphosis. It's always changing. It's always plastered all over the magazines, the movies, and everything else. And while that's sexually attractive as far as Bob Dobbs is concerned, that's not the only way to get off. That's not the only way to be aroused. George Carlin talked about how, you know, he didn't go for the Playboy bunnies and everything else. His fantasies were about the chick down the street, okay? So that's more going in the same direction as the Church of Subgenius. Bob Dobbs, this is the story that sticks out in my mind that they tell about Bob Dobbs. Bob Dobbs once, as a young man, was at the beach and found a hole in the earth, okay, just a hole in the ground, basically, and proceeded to start fucking it. And the earth was actually satisfied by his thrusting. He was sitting there, they catch him thrusting into the ground, basically, and he's gripping onto me, it's sucking me in and everything, and the earth trembled with excitement. This is what they did do with Bob Dobbs. Which is why on the early website they had so much of these really twisted pornographic images, you know, amputated men and women, multiple eyes, all kinds of crazy shit. Because when you're not beholden to the system's ideal of beauty or what should be exciting, well, then you define it for yourself, and pretty much anything can be exciting.
Well, arrows can be dispersed, but there's another way of looking at that is directly related to the system and the way that it manipulates images of beauty in ways that can cause harm to people, is that, like, the Church of the Subgenius does a lot with advertisement culture and that kind of imagery. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And
right, absolutely, absolutely.
One of the things that comes with that, one of the things that the system does, is it kind of forces these larger-than-life women, you know, staring down at you from every billboard, depending on where you live, you know, all over the place. And so Eros is dispersed and sexuality becomes strange and bizarre and, you know, more and more fetishized and also just like peeking up in weirder and weirder places where it was formerly unnecessary. And now, like, you know, you hear all the time that shit's just crass and gratuitous. Instead of feeling like you're being degraded, you can also look at it as a natural development of just like our prudish culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be on the edge pushing more weird sexuality into soap commercials, or you can be on your couch just, you know, with your arms crossed, folded across your chest, like tapping your foot over it. Does that
right,
make sense?
Right. Yeah, and it comes with, I think it has to do with empowerment. I think it has to do with, you know, whatever it is you're going to do to get you off, that, you know, that's cool. You know, as long as there's consenting adults involved, you know, as long as it's, you know, then it should be all right. And everybody has their little kinks. Everybody has a little bit of weirdness. But the puritanical kind of, you know, scrubbed, this is what sexuality should be. And this culture of, these are the definitions that we're going to give you. That's, I think, what the Church of Subgenius really poses. That instead of going, we're going to accept the definitions handed to us about anything, and sexuality is just one example, they instead say, no, take a really skewed view of things just so you can figure out what your own view is. But at the bottom line, though, as far as the Church of Subgenius is concerned, I think the guys like Ivan Stang, the reverend of the Church of Subgenius, would think that we're taking all this shit way too seriously. And they just want us to send us their money.
Well, who are we to question such holy men?
What was that again?
I don't know. I love constructions like this, like the Church of the Subgenius. The Church of Stan is another one. They have a cool blog that desperately needs updating. But yeah, that's the Church of Stan, not Satan. And to a lesser degree, like, Eris, like Discordian people, they have some degree of overlap with Satanism and left-hand path-oriented thinking, but they approach it from this very mad, humorous way that's like just as light as you can be in a certain way without just being offensive to me.
Right. And I think that when they do look at Satanists, when they do look at our subculture or whatever it is you want to call it, they would say that we take ourselves way too seriously.
Very grim.
Right. Even if we're not being grim, you know, even if it's, you know, it's like you guys know that there's, you know, there's some bullshit going on here, that you guys are kind of fooling yourself and pulling the wool over your own eyes a little bit of this. The Church of Subgenius, as far as the stuff that got going on, it's kind of, and that's kind of the sad thing in my opinion, it's kind of petered out a little bit too. Like, they had their X Day, they had their big, you know, their big climax and everything else. It's still moving, they're still moving product, they're still, you know, they're still out there doing their show and everything else. But now it's just kind of, you know, cultivate slack, do your own thing, send us money. And, you know, hopefully they find some new thing, some new vehicle to get a few yucks out of here pretty soon. Because I've enjoyed everything, you know, they've done so far pretty much.
I think getting the Bob Dobbs face on a Sublime album was a big deal. Like that satisfied a lot of people.
Right on. And for people who want to check this stuff out, the Church of Subgenius, I want to say their website is like www.subgenius.com. Matter of fact, I got the wiki page up. Let me take a look here. And it's just, it's entertaining, if it's nothing else. Yeah, subgenius.com, that's their official website. So check that out. Fun stuff. It's a way, even, you know, you'll see stuff about Satanism and everything else. They give you some, you know, yucks about, you know, Satanism and different conspiracy theories and everything. So it's a good time.
If you're a young kid out there and you have aspirations to eventually starting a cult, and whatever shit you have put together cannot hold somebody's attention for at least the 2 minutes that anybody could spend cruising this shit, then, like, yeah, no, you've got nothing. Take it back to the drawing board.
Right. Or, you know what, if you're a young kid that you're confused about religion, that you see all this going on, and you're taking it way, you know, it seems way heavier than it should be, the Church of Subgenius would be a breath of fresh air. The Church of Subgenius takes all that shit, shows where it's a joke, shows, you know, it's you know, they're mocking everything. So everything's commercialized. Everything is funny, and it'll take some of the pressure off, I think. So, but anyways, we got only about another 10 minutes, 12 minutes left of the show. I'm going to throw the phone number out there one more time, 347-989-1371. If you want to call in, you got any questions about, you know, the Church of Subgenius, or got some comments about the Church of Subgenius, definitely give us a call. But anyways, I'm
going to let y'all get back to it and get off the line.
All right, cool. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
I will always shut the fuck up for that girl, man. She's got a lot of brains in her head.
Right on. So yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like I'm sure there are a lot of, you know, people who, you know, they're calling themselves Satanists right now, who, you know, really, you know, when the Church of Subgenius, especially when they first started going, really checked that shit out and thought it was, you know, it was right up their alley. It was the kind of, you know, humor and I'm trying to think of the word and it's not coming to me. That's pretty bad. But basically, the irreverence that I think Anton LaVey kind of talked about with the Church of Satan early on, that it's not supposed to be taken so seriously. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be titillating. You're supposed to get, you know, as much as you can out of life, not spend your life worrying about pleasing some system, being obedient to some sort of clause or book or God or whatever, but live life and live, you know, live it to the fullest. And those knuckleheads of the Church of Subgenius, you know, they most of them probably don't have two dimes rubbed together, but they definitely have a good time.
Right on. Well, I guess in the spirit of that, we should now, make mention that people can make donations to the Ooze. Just The account is sales at twizedbeast.com, TWIZDEDBeast.com. You know, go ahead, donate some money. Why not? If you're giving money to these goofballs, we could certainly use some too.
Right, your dollars will help keep these shows like this on the air. What's the PBS riff? I don't know. Paid for by viewers like you, shit like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Sounds pretty good. Just give us your money, and whatever we don't use to actually pay for the show, we'll use for beer and alcohol and drugs and, I don't know, weird tattoos in strange places. And
right. We will have a good time on your dime, yes.
That's right. So, there we go. Hey, we've got the pitch for a whole religion right there, man.
Yeah, what we need to do is we need to convince our listeners that the good life can be had. That people can live happily doing whatever it is they want to do and enjoy themselves. And while it might not be for everyone, you can help make that happen for at least two people, TC and I.
Right. Hey, and then you finish it out with, we'll have a good time on your dime. I mean, it's perfect right there, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll take pictures and we'll shoot videos and you can live vicariously through us, you know?
Exactly.
If you want those stories, if you go, you know what, I was at that party on Walt Perkins Knox. I was at that party at Sorrell's house. I'll back you up. I'll say, yeah, he was here. I don't know why he wasn't on camera, but sure as shit, he was here. The chicks loved him.
Right on. I'm saying, man, why not?
So we got like 9 minutes left.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, dude, that would also admonish our, our irresponsibility and our leadership roles, you know?
Yeah, if somebody wants to pay me to be a leader, I'll take responsibility. I'll be all about it.
Right on.
I will tell you what to do. I won't steer you wrong. That's for fucking sure.
Right on. So, yeah, we got, fucking 8 minutes or something like that left. What else is new? What else is happening, man?
You know, I talked about this Tuesday radio show and the last couple of Tuesdays. I just didn't have my shit together. I wasn't feeling it or whatever. This Tuesday, we're going to do the radio show. I'm going to do an hour. Just me riffing about whatever. I tried doing this with the Sorrell show thing. It was a half hour bit, and hey, our same guy called me out on that, you know, saying, hey, you know what, why didn't you pay for a full hour and everything else? Well, it's because, you know, I'm paid for this one here and, really didn't, you know, want to invest again in another show of $40 a month or whatever. So yeah, we're going to spend Tuesday nights, I'm thinking 10 PM Eastern Standard Time, and I'll probably get it scheduled tonight. And I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet, just really we're going to be talking about, I'm going to try to stay topical. I'm trying to stay, you know, with what's going on right now as far as politics or philosophy or different ideas, and this time the show will be open to callers, so I want people to call in, but the plan is that I'll riff about a topic for a few minutes and then give people an opportunity to call in. Nobody calls in about the topic or whatever. After about 15 minutes of me riffing on it or whatever, I would move on to the next thing. So every show will actually have a list of topics. And if I don't get to a topic because people are calling in about one thing or whatever, well, then the list will just move to the next show. And then maybe every third Tuesday or whatever, it'll be an open show or whatever where people call in to talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Right. And for those of you that are sitting there like a deer in your headlights, Kenny, that's going to be happening right here on the Ooze as we release yet another edition in another slot. Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., is that right, Jason?
We're going to do Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so it'll be 9 p.m. my time. Nice and early for me, that'll work out well. Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., and it's going to be a one-hour-long show, at least for the time being. Don't have a show title. I should have that worked out here. I actually should have it worked out here by the end of the night. So if you want to check out the show, call in. It's going to be more of a mainstream show. I can promise you that. I'm going to try to mix it up a little bit, but there's going to be a little bit of politics, a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of nothing but bullshit, and hopefully it'll be a good time. So tune in, check it out.
You should call it something like the Slingshot Edition, man, because you're just going to be firing shit off. I know you.
Right, right. It'll be, yeah, it'll be 15 minutes like, okay, you fuckers don't want to talk about this? Well, how about this? Here's the other thing I got to talk about. So yeah, I've got my list ready. I've got my facts ready to back some shit up and everything. And while it will be some mainstream topics, it'll be my skewed perspective on it. So hopefully it'll get you thinking about some things differently.
Right on. I'm hoping that people start putting things together and that we're actually trying to fill every hour. So if you think you've got an idea for a show, pitch it to me. Pitch it to me, and we'll talk about maybe getting you set up in your own slot here.
Right on. Yeah, the Ooze is a channel, and we want to kind of make it a channel. We want to kind of have as many different voices as possible listening to these different shows. And since these shows are archived, you literally have 24/7 access to any show that we put together. So if we're producing seven different shows a week, and it's, you know, an hour long or 2 hour long for the shows, which, you know, eventually we might go to 2 hour long formats on a bunch of these different shows, depending on, you know, how involved people get, how many callers we have and everything else. It'll be a big deal to have that kind of time out there on the radio expressing these weird and strange opinions. I might actually start making people think.
Right, which, we have a responsibility to that, too.
No, fuck that. No, we're not going to be responsible for any of it.
No, not at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think that as we start to build shows, you'll start to see a little bit of structure happening in the formats of these shows. Like, I think every show should have an intro and an outro with a disclaimer attached to it. And
right on.
I also think that, we should start doing some commercials for some of our favorite stuff, you know, and maybe encourage some people to give us, you know, their money.
Right on. Oh, yeah, if you want to get something out there about, you know, what it is you're doing, whether you're writing or you've got some music going on or you've got, you know, whatever it is you got going, I mean, this is a venue that is listened to, you know, internationally, really. There's a bunch of people listening to the show. I know that, you know, the live show, not everybody can get to these different shows, Sunday night especially. You know, it's kind of late. It's Monday morning tomorrow for you fools that have to go to work and shit. But the shows are listened to on the archive, and we're pretty, you know, we're doing pretty good. I mean, it's crazy.
Uh-huh.
But, what was it? I was going to say something else about the shows. I can't think of what it was.
I have no idea, but you got 2 minutes and 25 seconds to figure it out?
Yeah, if I can think of it.
Well, again, I'm going to throw it out there. Anybody interested in seeing the past two paintings, I'll have to take one of them off the wall. Check out Sin Chat Room after the Ooze tonight. And, you know, again, man, I really hope that eventually we get something set up to where we're running as frequently as Blog Talk Radio will let us.
Right on. Next Sunday night, just to bring it up, we're going to be talking about Gurdjieff. G.I. Gurdjieff, the founder of what has come to be known as the Fourth Way. He called it the work when he was doing it, and I know that was a show. That was a part of the topic that was discussed Saturday, I think, right?
Yeah.
The Fourth Way, Otto Diablik, and the Sinister Path, or whatever. We're going to be talking about the man Gurdjieff, and he's a con man, he's a guru, he's a prophet, he's all kinds of crazy shit that there's people on the internet now who wish they could be all that. So check out that show next Sunday night. It'll be a good time.
Right on, and it'd be nice to actually talk about the original Sly Man.
Right on.
And so
the guy who really put this shit together, the Sly Man. The aspect of the Fourth Way that I don't think a lot of people click with, you know, they're promoting the Fourth Way now. But there's kind of a left hand path side to all that. That isn't all, you know, light and cake and shit.
Right on. Well, with all that being said, dude, let's go ahead and roll this out.
All right, man. Fuck it. Catch you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is your discretion to come along. Special thanks to Dad Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?